A few Sundays ago, I've been speaking a little bit about how glorious and wonderful God's salvation plan is. And, you know, the Bible has a whole lot of information the Bible is all about God's salvation plan, you know, and we know how God has hidden it in the Bible, in parables and all sorts of languages. He hides it in the Bible, and when He opens our eyes to it, we begin to see how wonderful it is. And you could study the Bible your whole life, and you could never plumb the depths of the riches of the glorious salvation plan of God. And as the more you study with God's will, He begins to open our eyes to how wonderful His salvation is. And it is indeed a wonderful, wonderful salvation that He has given to us, who are people who are not deserving of anything. We're not deserving of God's mercy, or His love, or His patience, or anything like that. You know, we're so grateful that God has not given to us what we truly deserve, which is to be destroyed forever. But God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, out of this human race, He has decided to save a people for Himself. But you turn over to Psalm 86. It's a prayer of David, and it's a beautiful chapter, like all the chapters in the Bible. We're going to start reading at verse 8. Among the gods, there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto Thy works. All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee. And we know God is, He has a people throughout all the nations of the world, His elect, that's going to come and worship before Him, you know. And it goes on, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. See, when God is, He saved His elect, and they shall glorify the name of God. You know, true believers, we want God's perfect will to be done and glory to be given to God. And God's people from all the nations of the world shall glorify Thy name. And it goes on, for Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Jehovah, and I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. And the true believers will do that. They're going to, when God saved them, and throughout all eternity to come, all God's people will glorify the great and holy name of God. And that's what we want to do when God has saved us. We want God's perfect will to be done, that God may be glorified in all things. And that's the desire of God's people, that God be glorified in our personal life and as we go about to serve Him. We want God to be glorified. And you'll turn over to Isaiah. You see the same idea there in Isaiah 55. It's a beautiful chapter, how God lays out salvation there in this chapter. Let's read verse 1. He says, O everyone that is athirst, come, ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, you see, the free salvation is free gift of God to us. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And we go down to verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations. There's going to be people from all over the world, different nations and languages and so forth. And who calls them? God does. And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because, the key word in that verse, because why? Something that we have done? No. Because of Jehovah thy God and the Holy One of Israel, He hath glorified thee. And then when we become saved, you know, we are all part of this wonderful glory of God. We're undeserving of it. And all the salvation plan here that God has written about in the Bible is to the glory of God. The only reason why a people glorify God is because of God, because He saves us. And He calls us to Himself, and we will glorify Him. No other. Remember, there's a verse in Isaiah God says, you know, all glory goes to God for salvation in all things, and his glory he will not give unto another. All glory go to God for salvation. And let's finish that word, because of Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. And as he speaks about Christ also through this chapter. And when God saves us, we're in him, and so forth, we abide in him, and all this is working out to the glory of God. Turn over to Isaiah 60. A few pages over to Isaiah 60. And these chapters, when you look at them more closely, God has laid out his salvation plan in throughout the whole Bible. We can't read the Bible, and there's many things we don't understand, but as we read it, we can see how God is, how he wrote the Bible, and how he laid out salvation in the Bible. In verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 60, arise and shine, for thy light is come. And he's speaking about Christ. And the glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall pass, shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Jehovah shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You know, as he saves his people through Christ. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. The light there is Christ. And kings the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. And thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitudes of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of Jehovah. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance of thine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. God is just simply laying out that the people is going to become saved through Christ, and how he's going to bring glory to him, to himself. And he goes on in verse 8, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves of their windows? Surely they all shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of Jehovah thy God, and of the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And it's all speaking about Christ and how he's going to go save a people for himself that will bring glory to God. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that when God saved a person, all heaven rejoiced. And you can just imagine that they're giving glory to God for saving this person and all God's elect. And verse 10 says, the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee, for in my wrath I'll smoke thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. And God is simply talking about the beauty of God's salvation that he would provide through Christ, because Christ at this point wasn't born as yet. And he's just speaking about the wonderful nature of his salvation, that people from all over the world was going to become saved through what Christ has done. And in verse 21, turn over to verse 21 and 22 of the same chapter, you see the same idea. Thy people also shall be all righteous. It's God's elect. They're all righteous through Christ. We don't have any righteousness of our own. They shall inherit the land forever, which is the new heaven and new earth. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. And salvation is the work of God's hands, and it glorifies God, that God may be glorified as he saved the people for himself. And says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, Jehovah, will hasten it in its time. You begin to see how glorious God's salvation plan is. And go over to the Gospel of John. And there's so many verses when you start to look at this issue, how glorious God's salvation plan is. And as I said last week, we begin to see a little bit of it as God opens our spiritual eyes to it. We begin to see the glorious nature of God's salvation plan. And it is a perfect salvation plan because God is the one who designed it. You see, God is the one who designed the salvation program. And it is perfect. And it will bring praise and glory to God. John 12. And we're going to begin reading in verse 20. John chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Remember, when Christ came, you know, to demonstrate the work that already had been done, all of this is glorifying God. And Christ went to the cross, and all he did is glorifying God. You see, and we're going to see it here. And it says, verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall he also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. So all through what Christ was going through, he finally said here, Father, glorify thy name. It's the glory of God, all that was done. All of it is to the glory of God. And it goes on in verse 28. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall be the prince of the world be cast out. And Christ goes on. But you see, all that was going, God, Christ was doing. As he came to be the gospel, he is the gospel, is to glorify God. At the end of the day, God gets all the glory for everything. For everything. God gets, even heaven. You know, true believers' eyes won't be on each other. It will be on God. He's going to be glorified throughout all eternity, forever and ever, you see, for his salvation. Turn a page over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. There we read, we're going to break into the middle of the chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, as true believers bring the true gospel, we're glorifying God. And as we wait upon the Lord, we are glorifying God. Because remember, we want all what we do as we live out our lives, that God may be glorified. That's it. It's no more me when you become saved, or me, myself, and I. No. We want God to be glorified in all things. In all things. Let's go on a little bit further in the same chapter. And verse 14, if he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And this verse has been totally misunderstood all over the years. You know, people think if they will ask the Lord for this or that, they will get it. No. The true believers, what we want, oh Lord, may thy perfect will be done. In other words, oh Lord, that thy name may be glorified. It's not, a lot of people have heard this over you know, doing the church age and so forth. If you ask, you know, if I ask the Lord for this, he'll give it to me. See, their minds are not in the right place. No, we want the Lord's perfect will to be done and his name to be glorified in all things. That's it. You see. And turn over to John 15. Start reading in verse 7. If ye abide in me, if we're truly saved, we're abiding in Christ. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Remember, we want God's perfect will to be done. It's not what we want anymore. You see, herein is my Father glorified. You see, God is glorified. That's our number one priority, that God may be glorified, that he bear much fruit. What fruit is that? Fruit of the Spirit that God has given to us. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is that patience. We wait, patience is waiting. We wait upon the Lord to bring about what he has promised. You know, God will bring it to pass. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. That glorifies God, the fruit of the Spirit. That glorifies God. And he goes on, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you see, can't emphasize it enough that we want our lives to give praise to God. As he strengthens us, and as we turn away from sin, or whatever the case is, or whatever trials or affliction God has put upon our lives, we want God to be glorified in all things. Remember how he tested Abraham? That also glorified God, because he realized that when Christ said to Abraham, now I know you love me, because you withhold not your only son from me. That glorifies God, you know, in all these things as we live out our lives. God also tells us too, if you go over to, remember Peter in John 21, when God would ask Peter, lovest thou me, and lovest thou me more than this? And God went on to tell him about how he would die in John 21. How he would die. And I think, let's pick up the context in verse 17 of John 21. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. There, verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter's death. He should glorify his God. Remember, in all things, God get the preeminence. Peter's death, God is telling him that it will glorify God. And he goes on, and when he has spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. And that's what God's commandment to us also as his people, follow God no matter what. No matter what. And did Peter come back and react to that statement that Christ made? No. Peter wasn't upset or did he fall apart? Or no. He's telling him his death, that his death is going to glorify God. And God tells us in Psalm that precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. See, all things are working out to the praise and glory of God, even if we don't understand it. That God may be glorified, that we may have a desire in our heart to glorify God. See, turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When, verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Remember, all things are working out to the praise and glory of God. When the Lord comes and get his people, he will be glorified in his saints, all his elect at that day. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. All things is working out to the glory of God. Every single thing. And we patiently wait upon the Lord to bring about this, the end of all things, in his time. His time. And we patiently wait. I think I better stop here and take a short break. But let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, that you are on the throne, that you are in total control of all things. Nothing is not gone awry. You're in perfect control of all things. And thy people, because you have saved them, will never fall away. We will never follow another. You will keep us. It's not our own strength, in our own strength or in our own wisdom or nothing like that. But we know that you'll keep us, and we have this wonderful promise that nothing will ever pluck us out of thine hand, no matter how dark the day in this life may be. And there seem that we're in a situation that we can't get out of it or whatever, God is in control. And oh Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for thy mercy, and we thank you for bringing us through this past year and the beginning of another. We pray, Lord, that we'll have us to continue to wait upon thee for all things. We ask that blessing upon all of us today, and as Chris, as he bring forth his study, and as we sing these hymns to thee, O Lord, that he may glorify thy name. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.